5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on. The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I hear you. I hear you.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Hello. I can hear you, James.
Hello?
I don't know if you can hear me. And I'm not muted, so do you have me muted? This is one of those times I wonder who can hear me. Can anybody hear me out there? Oh, it's so funny. The boyfriend says he can hear both of us, but you can't hear me, and that's interesting. Can we just go to bed now? I think it's just bedtime now. Oh, goodness. Okay, now since James isn't talking, I'm the only one that anybody can hear. And it's one of those things that I you know, have bad dreams about, is that, you know, James leaves me alone on the air and I just talk about nothing for, like, you know, until he comes back on. And it's just very scary. And I end up telling stupid stories about, like, you know, I don't know, grasshoppers or something.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Right, well, this is odd. This is the most peculiar. I've got it on. I can, you're very faint. I can actually hear you.
Well, yay. I can hear you pretty good, too. Yeah, I was rambling on. It was a lot of fun.
No, that's great. Yeah. No, actually, I my old computer that I usually do the show on, is sort of, it's just frozen. I don't know what the hell it's doing, but yeah.
Oh,
so switched it on my new computer and that's working, but I can hear you on the headphones on my old computer, if that makes any sense.
Not really
at all. Okay, so you let the nice people know we were having technical problems. I don't know what the fuck is going on. It's just one of those days today. So
I did. Yeah, I did.
Good
yeah.
job. Thank goodness for post-production, really.
Yes, you'll have to actually edit this one out. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay.
But
well,
there was go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're going to have to speak up because you sound very, very faint.
Okay, all right.
Nothing
I'll try
I can
to do that.
About there's nothing happening in my computer. I don't know what the fuck is going wrong with that. I don't switch it off now, otherwise stuff won't work. So okay, right. Well, excuse me. Let's pick. Let's just pretend none of that happened. Okay.
All right.
Okay. So. Here we go. So, and welcome to the new Panic Room, episode 281, on the 30th of June, 2022, which means, in many ways, it's July tomorrow, which is, and it's 4th of July, which is obviously when we Brits celebrate palming the country off onto you guys and letting you, we let you win, to be honest with you, but... speaking of letting people win, I think we'll bring Xtina on.
Come on, I'm with you.
Yeehaw, how are you doing, Christina? How are you this evening?
Oh, my goodness. You know, normally we talk about, you know, we can't wait till tomorrow, Friday, yay. I just felt like a Friday all day today, so I'm just going to stay in bed tomorrow. I'm just, you know, I'm wiped out. It's been one of those days all week long, I think. So I'm ready for the weekend and, oh, ready to not wake up. And I'm just, yeah, I'm going to stay in bed.
Sounds great. That's great. I could do it being a 4-day week. It may well be, six. I could do it a bit of a break, you know. I just contemplating the day. I can't remember the last time I actually had any sort of vacation, you know. As in just chunk of time away, you know. I managed to snatch half a day here and occasionally a day there, but when I don't work, but it's rare I have a day when I don't actually do anything.
Yeah, and I'm excited for July because it's my birthday month, so I'm excited. Yay!
Oh, it is, isn't it? Oh, right. But more importantly, it's my birthday month in a couple of months, so that's that's the one to watch. But So, we are running a little bit late because we had a few technical issues. But tell us what we got coming up on the show this evening.
Yeah, on the show this evening, we have Amazon best-selling and award-winning author Maria DeVivo. And a little bit later on in the show, we have horror author D.E. McCluskey. I'm hoping I said that right. But, we were supposed to have him on a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, and we just didn't have the times worked out right. And he was already an hour after the show was over. So,
oh, bless.
So I'm hoping.
Bless him. Because he's calling in from England, so it'd be nice to hear a fellow Brit.
Yeah.
We don't get many on, but so that'll be jolly. But I think, without further ado, I think you should. We'll get our first guest. She's obviously waiting in the green room with the puppies and the blue M&Ms. So do your thing.
All right, our first guest of the evening is Amazon bestseller, okay, I'm going to say it now. Amazon bestselling and award-winning author.
You're all right. You're all right. We're good.
Maria DeVivo. Maria DeVivo. Oh, my goodness.
Hello.
Hi, how are you, Maria?
Hello.
I am very well this evening.
Oh, my gosh. It felt like a Monday all day today. And, we normally don't have a whole lot of technical difficulties. And usually we just throw in the towel right away. And we're like, you know, we're going to keep going. And then we, so welcome to our blooper show.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I mean, this one is on me. My computer is just absolutely just frozen.
I must be bringing the weird vibes.
It's like one of those things, obviously, when they film The Exorcist, you know, there are all sorts of creepy things going on. So maybe it's something like that. Maybe it's, the show is possessed this week, which, to be fair, would be awesome, I have to say.
Right?
I like that very much.
I, as long as I didn't bring anything home with me, because then I would have to move, and I really like my house, so that would be awful. Where are you calling in from, Maria?
I am in a little blip right outside of Tampa, Florida. So I am currently in hell because of the heat.
Yes. You know, part of me does not understand why people purposely live in Florida. It's just so hot. But
it's awesome, though. I love it.
Yeah. You know, I do remember when my daughter was little and we lived in St. Pete, and we stayed at the pool. So that was really nice. I mean, we pretty much lived in the pool. I don't see anything else good, though. But
I lived my entire life in New York. So when we moved down here, it was like, I never have to shovel snow again. And that was like a freaking nightmare to have to do that, you know, to get to work or just do anything. I was like, yep. Yeah, we're done with this. So that was a plus.
No, I totally understand. I grew up in upstate New York, and yeah, that's what we did. I guess it's a thing where if you live up north, you have to, you know, go down to Florida to thaw out for, you
eventually,
know, so many
yeah.
years. Yeah. And I remember the first year in Florida, and we were walking on the beach at Christmas time. That was really cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, after, but yeah, I don't know. I'm in Tennessee now, and I think it's just, you get a mix of all the seasons, and it's just gorgeous, and I don't want to go anywhere else. We do get some snow, which is kind of cool, but not New York snow, because
that's just crazy.
I don't know why the people who live in New York, I don't know why they're still there. I mean, with how that's,
right.
But I guess everybody, you know, I don't understand it, but. That can stay up there. But Maria, you're here to talk to us about your book, Witch of the Black Circle. Tell us
a little bit
about it.
So it's Witch of the Black Circle is the first book in this whole saga that I have planned out. My brain just kind of works really weird. It's inspired by true events. And it takes place in the 1980s during the height of the Satanic Panic era. And it's about a girl who kind of realizes that, yeah, she has abilities and she can do shit and all hell's going to break loose.
I like that idea. Now, are these YA books or are they adult?
Oh, no. They are complete adult sex, drugs, rock and roll, the whole package deal. But in the series, like the way I have it planned out is that, each book it's kind of like American Horror Story, like where each season is its own separate season, but they have like connections. So each book in the series is going to be like a standalone. So it's not going to matter which order you read the books in. But they're all going to have like interconnected characters and places and stuff.
Interesting. I have to admit, in the horror genre, you know, I say this all the time about what scares me the most and stuff, and come to find out, I think I'm just a big wuss, because like demons really scare me, witchcraft as well. I mean, I have a close friend who claims to be a witch, and she'll start talking to me about certain things. I'm like, yeah, you know, that's nice, that's great, but how's the weather?
right,
it just,
yeah.
Really creeps me out. Now, do you believe in witchcraft and witches?
I've dabbled, yeah.
Oh,
for sure.
I like that answer.
So how define dabbled? I mean, have you sort of put spell and that sort of thing?
You totally cut out. What did you say? See, something doesn't want you to say those things to me.
I know.
Repeat. I didn't hear.
So you say dabbled. Have you put spells on people? I mean, what do you mean? Define dabbled.
I don't know how much I'm allowed to reveal. All of it. Okay, so in my formative years, my younger self, I was pretty deep in, you know, spellcraft and just stuff that went down. Like I said, the book is inspired by true events, so there you go. But as I got older and I got married and I had a kid, I kind of separated myself from that whole, like, lifestyle. So I'm not, like, a quote-unquote practitioner, so be it. But in the past, I there was a time where I did get kind of deep into it, and I've seen shit, so yeah.
Yeah, with the tagline, sometimes witchcraft isn't just a teenage phase. I mean, I think everybody, well, I don't know about everybody, but I think when you're younger, you do have an interest or a curiosity. I mean, I remember when I was younger, I loved the semi-precious stones, and I would, you know, get all the different meanings of them, and then from there it went to palmistry. I thought that was so cool that every line means something, and that was like super cool. And then the tarot cards, and I must have had at one point like 40 different decks of tarot cards just because they were so pretty. You know, so it, and for me, it was kind of a slippery slope thing, you know, where, and the funny thing is that I grew up in a very religious household. So the first time I bought a deck of tarot cards, I must have just stared at them for a good month before I would allow myself to open them because, you know, that's bad. It's you know, you just
evil.
I don't know. So yes. Yeah. So and I'm gonna say I might have seen some shit too, and so I can definitely say I believe, but and that's why I think now. I just, you know, you talk about any kind of boogie stuff, and I'm like, I'm going to sit this one out, you know.
Well, it's interesting that you say you grew up in a religious household, because that was kind of like where I was coming from as well. Like, I went to Catholic school, we went to church on the weekend, you know, it was very heavily like Christian, Catholic, God, all that stuff. And, you know, your natural curiosity is just kind of like, oh, what's that? Oh, what's that? And I think, you know, a lot of young people, like, especially, you know, the 80s, the 90s, I mean, that was like a prime time for, you know, occult studies, you know, I guess you could call it. A lot of people I knew were interested or showed interest in it. Others, not, you know, stayed with it, and others kind of like pulled back. But I think it's kind of natural just to be curious about what's beyond, you know?
Definitely. And I think it's the people who have never seen anything or have never had any kind of supernatural experience, I think, are the ones who want it. You know, they want it. Mm-hmm. But once you've seen something, you're like, I'm good. I can go the rest of my life not seeing anything ever again, and I will be fine.
Right.
At
now
I'm used
to just writing about it. Yeah.
Now, speaking of the book, I think we have an excerpt to read. Do you have do you need to set it
sure.
up or anything? Or Yay.
No, I have it right in front of me. I can hit you up with the beginning of chapter one. How long do you want me to go? Because, like, chapter one's kind of like 12 pages-ish, so I can cut that in half if that's cool.
Yeah, just a couple of pages. Give us a little feel of it. That should be good. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, wait, hold on. Let me... Now that I'm getting older, I need the glasses to look far away, but when I look up close, I need to take them off. It's so bizarre. I should just get LASIK and
be older.
Great. Being old sucks. Okay. So this is Witch of the Black Circle, Chapter 1. Thursday, December 29th, 1983. First Northport Assembly of God, Northport, Long Island, New York, night of the waning crescent moon. My mother believes I was cursed by a witch. Not exactly an ideal way to introduce myself to a room full of strangers in a church, but it's not like I haven't said it before. It's not like I haven't tried to assert myself as the dominant, badass new chick, or been the sweet, naive little girl that no one would suspect of setting a fire in the girls' bathroom. This was a game of never-ending church meet-and-greets, and I learned how to play it long ago. It's all the same to me, really. The small new town with its idyllic gated communities and good, wholesome families that go to church at the appropriate times and drink lemonade on their sprawling front porches and vacation out east to their expensive summer homes for 2 weeks in July. It's the scent of old money wafting in the air every time they suck their teeth at me in disdain and exhale with an uninterested, "That's nice, dear." Been there, done that, and I absolutely hate moving to a new neighborhood. I've done this countless times my entire life. And now, as I sit in the circle of cold metal folding chairs among the members of this new youth group, I get to really contemplate who I'm going to be to this group of soon-to-be ex-strangers. Might as well just be me, not like I'm sticking around much longer. The thought of being able to be myself for the first time in forever sends tingles up my spine to the base of my skull. I don't think I've ever really gotten to be me, the weirdo, the metalhead, the angsty girl who loves Joan Jett and Lita Ford equally because I can. I like fire and death and horror, and I say anarchy for the people because why not? These jocks and cheerleader types in this circle don't understand. They don't know me, the real me. They won't, and they can't. No one can. I fold my arms across my chest as if to hug myself for such a marvelous revelation. Fuck it. I'm going full-blown Jofi style, whether my mother likes it or not. Whether this dork of a youth minister who's spouting out some kind of crap about responsibility likes it or not. If my mother is forcing me to do this, to endure this again for the next 6 months, I'm going balls to the wall. I run my exposed fingers from my cut-out gloves up and down my forearms, scratching at the cotton material of my black Motley Crue t-shirt, kneading at the soft flesh of my thin arms underneath. 6 more months and I'm out of here. The thought makes me giddy. 6 more months and 2 major things are going to happen. I'm turning 18. I'm graduating high school. Then I'll be free to leave the clutches of my mother's insane world of psychotic paranoia and fear. Sitting in the circle of soon-to-be ex-strangers, I set the mental clock countdown and smile to myself. It's decided. I'm going to be the tough, standoffish Jofi, grade A bitch deluxe. Fuck it. I've got nothing to lose.
Oh, I really like that. I didn't want you to stop.
Oh, you don't want me
that
to stop?
Really
I can go. You want me to do a little more? I could do a little more.
Well, yeah. Maybe we can talk about it some more. No, that was really great. And when you go to make out the signed copy, that's X-T-I-N-A.
You got it, girl. You got it.
Oh, I really like that. She's a badass. I like that. You know, I have to admit, whenever I'm reading a book, that is the one thing that I cannot stand is the weak, wishy-washy women. I really, I like the strong, you know, female characters. They're the best.
I like bitches. Like, give me the bitches. Let's go. Let's do this.
So, let's see. I want to ask you, who is your favorite movie witch?
My favorite movie witch? In my heart, Nancy from The Craft.
I love her.
Oh, my God. Fairuza Balk was just amazing as Nancy in The fucking Craft. Like, she just nailed that role. That was her. You know what I mean? Like...
Definitely. I think I had a little crush on her, as a matter of fact, just, you know,
so did
from
I.
that
I mean,
movie.
I still do.
She was great. No, that was a really good movie, and that was one that I was thinking of as you were reading. I'm like, I could see this, you know, as a movie. And, you know, as far as witches go, I loved Practical Magic. I thought that was just... a great, you know, witchy movie there.
I liked the whole, like, and it was nice. It was a nice witchy, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
I usually like my witches dark.
I was a huge Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan, and in season 6 when Willow goes bad. Now, she was badass. Oh, that was probably one of my favorites there. Yeah, right? She was definitely not a nice witch at all. She was very scary.
No.
So.
And she played, and that definitely came across as raw and really awesome.
Yeah. Yes, I loved it. But, yeah, I think that, you know, whenever you're dealing with, you know, witches and the supernatural, it's, you know, I don't know, it's to me very scary. And especially, you know, I guess there's a difference between like the Wiccans or something that just, you know, mm-hmm. kumbaya or earth and stuff. But, you know, when you're dealing with something else, though, I think that might be it's a little too I don't know, it's too scary for me. You know, I definitely would rather sit on the sidelines. But
yeah, I mean, I know there's like the groups that they're earth loving and they're the pagans and you said kumbaya. I mean, but you're still tapping into something out there, and you
yes.
don't know what pathways and doorways and mirrors you're opening up. You know what I mean?
That exactly. Yeah, this kind of like reminds me of the friend of mine who's, you know, she's talked to, she said something the other day, but I did a spell for blah blah blah, and I'm like, you know, don't you ever you worry about the, you know, not that I know a whole lot about it, but I've always heard that it comes back on you like badly or something. So I'm like, I don't know if I'd want to be messing with that kind of stuff, because, you know, if you do some kind of spell, who is granting it? I mean, it's not like a genie, you know?
Right,
who's,
exactly.
Who's making the, yeah. And so I'm going to sit back here I know, I think it was last year or maybe the year before, we were getting flat tires all the time. I'm talking about, we had like 5 flat tires in a year, and that's like more than I've ever had in my life, I think. You know, just like one after
Whoa.
Another, and it was different vehicles and everything, and I was like, oh my gosh, somebody has put a curse on us. Somebody's doing some voodoo, and I just don't know why.
Yeah, that's a little weird. I can see maybe like
yeah.
2.
Yeah.
But 5? Right. That's excessive.
Yeah. We were even asking the people around us, you know, have you guys noticed any flat, you know, maybe we're driving through something that, you know, nothing. It was just us. It was really strange.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
<Ooh.
laughs> Yeah. Yeah. Right. So now as far as, when you like to read, do you like to read about witchcraft and witches? And I mean, what would be your favorite book, witch?
Okay, so I'm going to sound like a complete asshole. Like, this is going to sound like the most bizarre thing ever, but I don't
uh-huh.
read.
Really?
I don't.
At all?
And it's weird because...
Uh-huh.
I do, but like... to sit down and be like, I have a to-be-read list pile and blah, blah, blah. And no, I like, it has to really, like, get me to force me
mm-hmm.
to sit down and read. And I think part of it is because I'm a teacher as well. So
mm-hmm.
I teach middle school kids all day long. I'm reading constantly with them. And then I'm sitting there and I'm like, I could be writing. And I know they say that you have to be a really good reader in order to be a good writer. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Yes. Do I read? Sure. But I don't like, I'm not a voracious, oh my God, I have to read. I'm just like, whatever. That's how, and I know I sound like such an asshole when I say that. But
I mean,
the truth.
You know, well, if you're reading all day at work, you know, no matter what it is, you're still, you know, I mean, it's kind of like James and I with Hellbound. I mean, all day long we're reading. And so that when
yeah.
you get done with work, that's kind of the last thing you want to do.
Right.
Most of the time.
Right.
I mean, there's still times that a book will look really – and I think for me is when I start reading things that are totally opposite of what I read for, you know, for Hellbound, like, oh, you know, I've been in this phase where I've been reading a bunch of romance because that's,
Whoa.
Like, the total opposite of anything I do for work. So, and that's been and it's romance that, is, you know, makes me cry, and I don't know what it is, but I'm like – I'm really digging this. I don't know if I just need to, you know, maybe I need one of those rage rooms and just like scream it out or something, because if a book can make me cry, I'm like, oh my God, this is it right here.
Wow. Wow.
That's not always a bad thing.
I mean,
the whole point is, you know, that you feel something. And it's funny
yeah,
how people think,
yeah.
you know, I speak to people and they say, oh, you know, all I read or something, you know, write is horror, but I like a good thriller, you know. I like a nice
mm-hmm.
biography. I read the entirety
yeah.
of Margaret Thatcher's biography a year or two back and thoroughly enjoyed it. And you know, but it is, as Christina said, you know, it usually by the end of the day, the last thing I want to do is read anything, which is a shame because I've always
yeah.
enjoyed reading, always read for pleasure, you know. And now, yeah, like you say, your brain is just like, oh, it's more my eyes, actually, because my eyes, you know, like, you know, sometimes
yeah.
I'm not even too tired to even watch TV, you know, so So I just lay there with my eyes closed, and you know that. So the my evenings are always a joy.
Sounds fun.
No, it isn't, to be honest. It really isn't. Although the more you drink, the more entertaining the evening can become.
Sure. There you go.
Apparently. Yeah, he said something on his
true.
Beer. I think I just needed a beer, so I'm having one, so there.
So Maria, the Witch of the Black Circle. That's book one. Have you started on book two yet?
Book two is actually out.
Oh wow!
Came out beginning
okay,
of
well,
June. Yeah. So. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say, how many books is this series going to be?
Oh, it's going to be 10.
Oh wow!
It's going to be
wow.
10. Yeah, 10.
Nice.
I dug a little grave, right? So I dug a little grave, and it was about maybe 2 feet deep. And then I just kept digging and digging and digging. And this series is going to be like the death of me. No, it's not. I'm having so much fun writing it. I really am. So book two is Witch of the Red Thorn, and that came out in the beginning of June. So I've been writing, ever since school let out, which was the end of May. So I've been, you know, balls to the wall, writing book three. And my editor needs that by, when is my due date? August something. It's at the end of August. So I'll have that done, ready to go. If I'm kind of like on this like nonstop like roller coaster where it's just writing and editing. So when you go back to reading books, I honestly don't even have time, you know, cause I'm in that mode. I'm in that grind. But I committed to 10 books. I don't know what is wrong with me. I think I just had a temporary lapse of sanity. I'm up for the challenge. I'm definitely digging it.
Now, do you have an outline of what each book is going to be about, like the characters and in setting, or not yet?
No, I do. I mapped every, like, because I'm very OCD and I have to be very structured. It's just like that whole, like, I have to have a routine. I have to have, you know, it's just like that compulsory, like, I did. I mapped out after I wrote book one, and I was like, okay, I'm going deep. I mapped out each book. They all have titles already, except one. One I'm kind of on the fence about. I don't know when I'm going to write which one, if that makes sense, but I know what they're going to be about. They all have beginnings and they all have endings. How I get from the beginning to the end is still a mystery to me, but I have beginnings and endings like completely nailed down.
Now, when you're writing one book, do characters from a different book ever talk to you? And you know, are you ever compelled to stop and write something for one of the other books that might be talking to you at that time?
Oh my God, yes. And they don't shut the fuck up. It's so funny that you said that because, like, I think it was like last night or 2 nights ago, I was in the shower and I'm like, I'm prepping in my head for, you know, my writing day because I kind of just like get ideas. And all of a sudden, one of the other characters from the book that I'm going to be, the fourth book, it's about her, and now she just kind of steps in, and she's like, hi, this is what I want you to talk about. And I'm like, shut up. You would think that I was an insane person, but I know a lot of my writer buddies, like, you know, people that I kind of hang out with and talk to, they go through the same thing. Like, it's that chatter. Like, I fall asleep to them talking to me, and I'm like, guys, just shut up because I'm going to bed and I can't write this down and I'm going to forget it when I, you know, wake up in the morning. They do. And it's annoying, but it's fun. I am having so much fun with this series. Like the most fun I've had writing a series, like this is fun for me.
It's funny that you say that if you're like in the shower and you can't do anything or maybe you're going to bed. And I've woken up, had an idea. I'm a poet and I've had, you know, I've just, man, this amazing idea for this poem, and I'll remember it. I'm sure I'll remember it in the morning. And I've even jotted down notes, and then the next day I look at it, I'm like, what the hell was I writing? I have no clue and no idea what it was, but I'm like, man, it was epic. It was amazing, and I'll never remember it.
Fact, Dad. So much fact.
It is. It's but, and I do think it's, it makes me wonder, what do people who don't write, what do they do? Like, without that, like you said, that chatter and that, sometimes I'll just have a name or a line or just something random. And I'm like, where did that come from? You know, where does it come from? Because it's
right.
And what do the people do who aren't writers? Or what, did they just not experience anything like this? And maybe we are crazy.
I think it is a form of madness. I really do, because we think about it. You know, we hear voices and imagine different worlds and different, just make stuff up on that. And I've said before, it took me until relatively recently to realize that not everybody thinks the same way as we creative people. I don't know about, it's going to make me sound like a terrible, terrible person, and I may well be, but I get so bored with non-creative people very quickly.
Yes.
Do you find that, Maria, or is it just me that's terrible?
No, it's not you. It's you're 100% right. And it is madness. Mm-hmm. I think it's madness that we are able to control. Like, we're able
to harness.
We harness it and use it for the powers of good. Maybe, I don't know. but it definitely is. It's a sickness. It's a form of insanity. And I think that people who are the non-creative types, either they go, like, they're just dead inside, or they're just like, they go full blown insane. I mean, they're boring. Boring ass people. No.
You're right, agree. Though. Like I say, I can be talking to a non-creative person. I can practically hear the switching off in my brain after about 5 minutes, and it's just like I'm really, really bored with you. You know, and I'm getting to that age now where I'm likely to say that. Well, I'm going to go now because you're boring. You know, that day will come. I know that's going to happen because
I'm so glad that you said that because I felt like a horrible person for feeling that way. But it's the truth.
Yeah, it is a creative. Obviously now I mix with more creative people than non-creative people. I get it, and I get chatting to a fellow writer, and it's brilliant, you sort of talk on that, because sometimes, when you're talking to a non-creative, but you start talking about, basically, you're talking about stuff you've made up, like, almost like, you're a five-year-old kid talking about his imaginary friend and a pretend game, but that's what we play pretend, but in our heads, and they have that certain look, and it's sort of part pity, part, blind terror that this person's talking to me, But you talk to a creator, whether it's, another writer, a musician, an artist, we're on that level. We live what we exist on that same plane. I wish I'd known this. If I'd known this a lot of years ago, I'd have saved myself two divorces, to be quite honest with you. We live and learn.
There you go.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. And I guess you have different kinds of creativity, but I do think that if you are with somebody, you're in a relationship with somebody that is not creative at all, oh, man, that is just sad, very sad.
Yeah.
Because
go ahead. And it's not just being a writer. It's like you said, it's like, the other outlets. There are other ways to be creative. So you got to have that something extra.
Yes. Have you ever met anybody who, you've asked them, do you have a passion or what are you passionate about? Nothing. How is that possible?
Yeah.
Like, for real, no. you've never wanted anything, you've never, and I know people now that I just, never wanted, never had any creative,
I'm not very well, not doing it very well at it, but I'm on the dating scene again now, and, and they'll say, oh, what hobbies do you have, what do you do in your spare time, it's like, you know, I'm a writer. We don't have spare time.
Right.
Literally, a hobby. Xtina knows me. She knows me very well. Can you imagine me having a hobby?
a hobby that involves public nudity,
obviously, you know. But it's just the thought of just taking up a hobby just fills me with absolute horror. I mean, first of all, I have no idea what I would do. You know, I can't see me picking up my childhood stamp collecting again. But my interest is writing and everything around. Obviously, we do publishing, and to be fair, I would love to have time to read for pleasure. That is the one thing that I there's so much going on at the moment. But that's usually as far as that. You know. The best, it's a first date, you know, we cover that off, and I tell them I don't have any spare time, really, and then I don't hear anything again, so. So that's that.
I have a theory.
Like to think of it as the trash taking itself out, I think that's...
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a theory about that, though. I feel like people, and now this goes to if you subscribe to the belief of reincarnation. I think that people who are kind of like with that dead inside, that don't have that creative spark, they're just new souls. They're just doing this life for the very first time, and they're not experienced in life.
I like that.
The creative people, we've done this before. Like there's something within like our spark, our soul, or whatever the hell you want to call it. It's gone through the cycle many times, quite possibly. And that's what kind of like fuels that energy, the art, the music, the writing, the all that other stuff. But the people who are like kind of dead, they're new souls, they're baby souls. They're still learning. That's my theory.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I do like that. It's a great, that could
Thank
work.
You.
Either that or, you know, I say they're just inherently dull. <That's what
laughs> Or you could say that.
Inherently dull people. You know, so
we're trying to be nice.
I've always felt like an old soul, you know, and we seem to not exist on a different plane, but we are in touch with a different plane. Maybe it takes so many goes around to actually achieve that. We need to understand, have a bigger understanding. And, I'm particularly interested in things like chaos theory and Big Bang and obviously evolution, the big stuff, you know?
Right.
Maybe you're right. Maybe the dull people, we can call them the dullies.
The dullies.
It's just not quite there yet. They need a couple of goes round.
Yeah. See? It works, right?
I absolutely hate to do this because we are having so much fun, but we are just about out of time for our first segment. And I feel like we could just keep talking all night long. So, Maria, you have to promise to come back.
Oh, absolutely. Whenever you want me, just let me know, girl. I am here.
Awesome. And next time...
$10 on the go, so I'm sure we'll be speaking again, which is great.
For sure.
So before we let you go, tell us where we can find you online.
Okay, so like I'm kind of a whore, so you can find me everywhere. I've been really like hitting my TikTok up hard and heavy, so it's like, I don't know what the tags are or whatever, but it's author Maria DeVivo. I mean, I guess the best place to find all of my shit would be at my website, which is just mariadevivo.com. And I have all like my links where I'm going to be, you know, appearances and all my Facebook stuff and TikTok and Instagram. I don't know whatever the hell else I have. But MariaDeVivo.com.
All of those. Awesome,
yeah,
awesome.
All that
and
shit.
For all of our listeners
shit,
out there, go
shit.
Out.
I like your style.
Go out there and find Witch of the Black Circle by Maria DeVivo. And I can't wait to have you back. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me. This is so much fun.
Thank you, Maria. Have a wonderful rest of your evening.
Thanks. You
good
too.
Night.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, time is, he's marching on. Tempus fugit, as they say. Although, funnily enough, not on my other computer that's frozen. It's still 9:32 on that computer. I don't know what is going on with it. Like you say, it could be, you know, things from the spirit world or whatever is, but it'll take more than a few demons to put us off the show, I have to say. You know, so up yours, demons. You know, you're not going to stop the new panic room, actually. So, anywho, it is time to crack open a new box of Chardonnay for me to have a wee. So we will be right back after these messages.
Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Don't wish it away, don't look at it like it's forever. Between you and me, I could honestly say that things can only get better.
Don, welcome back to part two.
Well, 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 we are back. Are you back, Xtina? How's the new box of Chardonnay doing?
I'm back, and it's doing really well. I'm not as tired as I was, but the computer I'm staring at is a little blurry now. But you know, I'm okay with
excellent.
That.
Yeah, well, my baby, my delightful daughter just brought me. She perked me right up. Which is nice. What I need. I need to start day drinking, I think. You know, so I've made a note. Drink more. So you know, that's gonna happen.
That's how much
that's
you do
live
every day. Yeah.
But, so, you know, funnily enough, before we bring on the lovely Samantha, I just went for a wee, and I was just scrolling through Facebook, and apparently there's a motion, I think, Greg Abbott or whatever, here in Texas, to instead of calling slavery, to call it involuntary relocation.
No way, you're joking.
I was going to try to whitewash history, because you can't say whitewash, because white, ooh, racist,
right,
you know,
right.
That sort of excludes, you know, the non-white people, shall we say, you know. Let's wallpaper over the Holocaust and just call it involuntary fumigation. For example,
oh,
what about the Crusades, which was a whole Christian thing? You know, again, a lot of this is the religious freaks. You know, so the Crusades have got involuntary indoctrination. I mean, we could do a lot of this. You know, I don't know. I mean, I come from, and again, we have our next guest is actually from England, so he probably identifies with a lot of this. And I come from a generation back in the UK where all this was bullshit. Seriously.
Yeah.
All this, said this, you can't say that. You said what you fucking wanted, you know, you said what you meant, you know. And you stood by it. If you got a smack in the mouth, you learn not to say it again. Not all this, oh, you can't say anything. Oh, just seriously, you know. It's too much, and it's like, I think for me it's triggering because it reminds me of my second ex-wife, who had a way of, I know, you know, obviously, learning things the hard way. We did discuss that earlier with our previous guest. and this is what is happening by, they believe that by manipulating the words we say, it manipulates reality, it manipulates the truth, it manipulates and changes history. You know, reality check, guys, it fucking doesn't.
Yeah.
Seriously, it does not. It's the same. And again, I think because we work with words, you know, it is our job to manipulate people's thoughts, feelings, ideas with words. That's, as you said, you know, you read a book, it makes you cry, or a book makes you scared, it makes you angry, or whatever. That's our job as writers, and nothing irks me more. What a great word that is, irk. It's almost like it should be some sort of sea bird, but it's not. What irks me more is, you know, I see these the writers groups on Facebook, and people say, oh, well, I'm writing, and is it okay to say nigger if your character says that? Well, if it's in character, yes, you know, I don't say it. Mm-hmm. Well, then seriously, you have no business writing, to be honest. If you're going to self-censor and you can't say this, you can't say that, seriously, stop. Go collect stamps.
Yeah.
Go bottle your own wine. You know, expose yourself to children in playgrounds. Whatever you want to do, just quit writing, because that's the point. That's the thing with art, you know, any sort of art. And you look at, the music, look at sculpture, look at painting, look at writers. You know, we're there to push the boundaries. And if we're being... comedians is a big one as well. Comedians are, and some are speaking out. John Cleese is speaking out. Rowan Atkinson is speaking out against this whole ridiculous woke cancel culture, which is crap. I mean, comedians for generations have been the ones who've said, said the things that maybe, you know, people think but didn't say, you know, and they pushed the boundaries and made people think a little bit and, you know, to try. I think the revolution will come from we creatives, to be honest. I think we will finally rise up.
I hope so. It's gotten crazy.
No matter what our, like, again, okay, you know, whatever our medium, we have the ability to manipulate people's minds, because that's the job. We put pictures and images and thoughts and ideas into people's minds, and I think this is why I love to see Stephen King. He's an avid tweeter. I mean, I follow him on Twitter, and he's always got something brilliant to say, you know? And it can be just a few words, a line, but it's, you know, and I think this is where the revolution is going to come from. I really do. And instead of putting people against the wall and shooting them, we'll just stab them with our pens or pencil. Because a sharpened pencil can be a formidable weapon. So think on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have the show. You know, we have a following. We're on 281 shows now, so we're doing something right. You know, we could turn this into a revolutionary platform.
We should do that.
Yeah, because it is. You know, as we're getting older and we're immersed in this culture, seeing what is going on is just crazy. It just really is. Where is it going to end? I think that's the big question. Where is it going to end?
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm going to open up another bottle of wine.
I think I need another beer. I need to. She's gone up. I'll text her. She's gone upstairs. She'll come down and get me a beer if I ask her nicely. But I think it's time to press this button.
Oh, hey. Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
Hey, everybody.
And it is. It is the lovely Samantha.
How are you all?
Oh,
we're angry.
I'm doing great.
We're
now.
Angry. We're not going to take it anymore. And you're probably too young to get that reference, but it is a damn good reference.
I'm doing much better than I was when I first called in. I was tired and I wanted to nap, and now I'm all like fired up. Yeah, fired up. We're not going to take it. So. Gonna burn my bra on the street, or I don't know. I'm mad about it.
Christina, you know, speaking as a friend, don't. Seriously, you need that. You need that bra, okay? Just saying.
It's true.
Yeah, she does. She's huge.
Oh my god.
Moving on.
Listen to him. So what do you have to review for us tonight, Samantha?
So I just recently finished up Ken by Keelan Patrick Burke. I really picked this up and thought that I wouldn't like it because I read Blanky and liked that, but then I tried Sour Candy and couldn't get through it. So I picked this book up. My friend Misha's like, oh, here she goes. She's going to put it down. But really, it's really not a bad book. But I don't really agree with the back of the book where it compares it to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because this book is more about the aftermath of this girl named Claire being the lone survivor of the Elkwood Massacre. So, I mean, it's like bloody and gory, but it's not – you don't really get to find – I mean, you find out what happens to her, but it's not – really graphic or detail, you know what I mean? I just, the back of the book made me think a little differently, you know, but it's still a good read. I gave it 5 stars because it's really fast-paced, and he does a good job of flipping between character perspectives in a way that doesn't confuse you with all of the characters. You know how some books you'll read, like, one chapter, and it's one person, and then you go to, like, the next chapter, and it's a different person, but it picks up where the first chapter left off?
It's like
a consistent, I don't know how to explain it, but I really like that. So I didn't have any problems like understanding characters. Sometimes I get overwhelmed if there's too many in a story. So I liked it.
I found occasionally when they switch the POVs often, it sounds so similar. that I'm like, it takes me right out of the story because I'm like, you have to differentiate between them if you're going to do this.
Yeah, you're right. I think if you're going to do that, you need to make the characters wildly different. Otherwise, it's like you say, slightly different POV, but the same voice. So it's...
Yeah.
And I've read books where it's been done incredibly
well. It's sloppy. I think it's just sloppy when they just don't do it right. Yeah, definitely.
I feel like it flows really well that way. Like, you're always kind of aware of what's going on, and there's no real confusion, and everybody is different. Like, there's the Merrill family, and then you have the sheriff, and then you've got Claire, and then you've got, like, her sister, and then there's some other... I mean, there's so many people in here, but I never felt confused, but normally I'm overwhelmed if there's, like, more than four characters, because it's kind of like what you said. They're all the same. So
right,
then you're kind of like, oh, who am I reading? Or, no, I thought I was reading this person. I think my only real complaint about the book is that the print is very, very small. And so I had to, take breaks reading it because it kind of made my eyes hurt. So I wish the print was a little bit bigger.
You're just getting older, Samantha, because I find that.
Well, you know,
I'm at the age now where I'll snap a picture of instructions on, even like on the back of a microwave meal packet, yeah? I'll snap the picture on my phone so I can make it look bigger so I can read it. I bought something recently, and the small bit is that fucking small. It's like, what? Seriously, I'm not meant to read this. Seriously, it was like, I wish I could remember what it was now. To this day, what was it? It will come back to me. But it was just like, I know what it was. It was my my new sprinkler system instruction book. I still don't know how to use the fucking thing. Seriously, I just get a guest and the sprinkler. They do come on. They do come on a couple of times a week, and I'm happy with that. But I'm sure it's not right. But I can't have no chance of reading that. No chance. What they should do for older people is have an audio book.
I do think I need a new glasses prescription, but I don't know. It's just very small. Well, and the book is, it's 300 pages maybe. I don't know. I mean, but other than that, I just wish it was a little bigger. I would have liked to continue reading it, but there were just times I had to stop because it's like, oh, my eyes are hurting. they're burning now.
I'm excited to talk to Keelan. We have him scheduled on the show coming up here in a couple months or something. But, he was on, I think, James, in, 2017. We haven't had him since. So that'll be interesting to talk to him. But, Samantha, tell us again what book it is and who it's by. Give us a shout-out.
It's called Ken by Keelan Patrick Burke.
Awesome, awesome. And I can't wait to have you back next week to talk about what you got for us. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Samantha.
Thank you, guys. Have a good evening.
Time is marching on, and I think it is time to dig our second guest, release him. release him from the green room, as they say. It's funny, I'm going to admit, I'm having a second beer now because... Why the fuck not? It is, yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. But
all right.
You know, it's been one of those bloody weeks. It really has. It's just been.
Yeah.
But it's nice. I'm seriously contemplating declaring a 4-day weekend. Tell you the truth.
I think you should. Yes,
I'm
you should.
Starting, you know, July the 4th starts now. So, you know, probably screw working tomorrow. And then obviously it's a weekend, you know. And then obviously July the 4th. So, in fact, we need to go buy fireworks because, you know, nothing says independence more than blowing shit up. We've got a new fire pit to have a go at as well. So, anywho, it is time. I think you should do your thing.
All righty. Our second guest of the evening is fantasy and horror author D.E. McCluskey. Woo!
Hello!
Death to all radicals.
How you doing?
I'm going with your flow there and saying death to all radicals. You know, everyone who gets offended, I get offended by them. So let's go on with that one. Happy day.
Absolutely, yes. And I have to say, it is wonderful to hear a Scouse accent. I miss it. I really do.
You're probably the only one I know who would. Yeah. Listen,
you're on the wrong side of the Pennines, but I'm going to let that one go. It's wonderful for you to join us from England. Thank you.
Our American cousins won't understand the wrong side of the Pennines thing, really.
Well, do you know, that's on them. I mean, to be fair, most Americans don't know where England is at all, so fuck them, to be honest.
It's across the pond. Wait,
I'm sorry,
tell them the story, Xtina, about... I'm going to embarrass her. We were looking for a narrator for a book, and we wanted somebody with a Scottish accent, and she's going through the list. On ACX, there's a list of what we're going to say. She said, I can't find Scottish at all. I can't find there's nothing. We've got Glasgow and Edinburgh, though, haven't they? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
this is the level of ignorance we're dealing with over here, to be honest with you. But,
it's true.
You know,
yeah.
They're mostly lovely people, I guess, I think.
It's the same with them Glaswegians as well. They're lovely people too.
Oh yeah, yeah. I love the Scots. I've got some good friends. Had a great friend who was Glaswegian, and it's funny that I used to go drinking with him a fair bit. And you know, the more he drank, the less you could understand him.
Oh my word!
His accent just got thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker, and in the end, you just be, of course, you'd be. Drinking as well, but you just end up just sort of nodding and, you know, great guy, though.
You end up looking for the subtitles, don't you?
Yes,
subtitles. Yeah. I've got to apologize if I sound too sexy tonight because I've got a cold and it's absolutely ravaged me voice. So I've got a thick Scouse accent with a proper cold going on behind it.
You still sound good. Yeah, you do. We had one guest on. No, you sound great. We did have one guest on that had such a thick accent, I could not understand him.
Oh, that was
Kevin.
That was my old mate, Kevin Kennedy. Very thick Scottish accent. Brilliant guy. I could understand him, but Xtina didn't have a clue. She was messaging me through the show saying, what's he saying?
James is going to ask questions. I'm like, I don't know what he's saying. Yes.
Well, I managed to keep up, hopefully.
I'm awfully jealous that you guys are drinking because it's like it's a quarter to five here in the morning.
Oh, geez.
And I'm thinking, is it too early for me to have a beer?
Never too early.
No.
As you may have one. It's 5 o'clock. It's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
Exactly. You know, day drinking, you've got to start somewhere. So,
go have a If I do 12 hours, I'm finished at 5, aren't I? So it's good to go. Good to go.
Go for it.
So, David, you're here to talk to us about your book, Glimmer. Tell us a little bit about it.
I'll talk to you about it. For me, Glimmer is my first foray into fantasy. Because normally I'm a horror writer. That's kind of like my shtick. I've been writing horror for the last probably about seven, 8 years. And I just thought, I like to cross genres every now and again. And this book was just bouncing about in my head. And I just thought, it's got to get out there. And so I watched an awful lot of Game of Thrones. I watched an awful lot of Lord of the Rings. And it's got a lot of influences for them, from them books and them films and them programs. But it's young adult as well. Which again is a brand new sort of like genre for me because I've never written young adult before. I've written children's books, but I've never done young adult, and I felt really restricted in how much sex and violence I could put into it. Because I do enjoy a bit of sex and violence in my books, to be fair.
Who doesn't? Yeah.
Exactly.
No, it's a YA. Is that...
I wrote, I actually ghost wrote a couple of young adult books last year and the year before for a client in Australia,
yeah.
Funny enough. And it is difficult, and it was a romance as well, so we had the romance, but we couldn't have a full-on sex scene, and there was a bit of violence,
yeah,
in it.
Yeah.
I just had to bring every... Yeah. It was challenging, but I think I managed. It was all, again, because it was based at Regency period. He wanted Regency period romance, so it was all very chaste. And yeah, again, reading around it, the Regency period lot were an absolute bunch of randy bastards. I mean, they were at it like rockets.
Yeah.
But you never see that on
Dad,
Abby and Jane Austen. You know, it's all very, you know, oh Mr.
Yeah,
Wither and I'm swooning. But no, they were. You can't wait to get their pants off.
Years and years and years ago, when I was in university, I started reading the Song of Fire and Ice books, like a long time before they were made into that excellent series that we've got there. But the sex and violence in them books is warranted, as well as you know, as being, you know, titillating, as well as whatever you want to talk to about. So I tried to do this, but I tried to do it in a way that young adults will pick up on. And then, obviously, my daughter's a young adult now. She's 14, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, hang on a minute. I'll have to keep that within the boundaries, because I don't want her reading some weird stuff that her dad's wrote. I'm saying to all her mates, I'll read this book that my dad's wrote. And all her mates, but my dad's going, oh, no, you're not hanging around with Grace no more. So it was a tough challenge.
Now, what ages is the YA? What is that? Because I kind of thought it was like 18, 19, 20-ish.
I think nowadays I would say, you know, sort of 12 and up. I would, that'd be my...
Really?
Yeah.
The Harry Potter crowd, I mean, that is young adult. You know, the Twilight, that's young adult. So I would say 12
adult,
and up.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but...
Yeah. I based it around 15, so, you know, there are some sexual references in there and stuff like that, but there's more violence than anything else. It was a tough challenge for me to do, because it's a three-part saga, and all the three parts are written, and they're all edited, and they're all ready to go, but I just obviously staggered them. But it was a really difficult project, and I'm really, really proud of it, to tell you the truth. It's another feather in my bow, so to speak.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of Glimmer, do we have an excerpt? Were you going to share an excerpt with us?
Well, I've got one, but I don't know whether my voice is going to hold out to actually read it, to be fair.
If you'd rather skip it, then that's fine. we don't want to put you undue pressure.
I don't mind talking about it, but I think if I was going to read it, I think my voice is going to go. I'll give it a go. Like if you want me to.
No, it's fine. No, let's just chat. I mean, I'll say I can. His voice is starting to crumble a little bit. So. We don't have a response to losing it, you know?
Yeah, this is my voice actually getting better. You should have heard me yesterday. The missus was made up that I couldn't talk to her all day.
She enjoyed the peace.
She enjoyed the peace and quiet, yeah. Because normally I'm like, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? What do you think of this? What do you do? What do you do? And she's like, will you just shut up? Yeah.
Now, it says this is a YA saga. Are there going to be other books to it, or is it a standalone, just one?
No, well, it's a standalone three-part. Well, if that's such a thing, it's a standalone three-part. It's a three-part saga. So you've got Glimmer's the first one, and then you've got the second one is the City of the Fireflies, and then the third part is the Throne of Glim. And then that takes the whole arc from beginning to end. So there's no there's not going to be any other sequels or nothing like that, because it's pretty much, the story's pretty much told. Basically, what it's about is there's an ancient cult of like a religious cult called the Glim, and it starts off with their culture's dying off, so the last two remaining Glims put all their magic and all their knowledge into these orbs, and one orb's red and one orb's blue, and they set off and they take the orbs to these tribes, the biggest tribes that we've got in the land, and they say, you know, these are magic and this, that, and the other, and they need to be revered, and they need to be what's the word I'm looking for? They need to be looked after, if you know what I mean. And then what happens is the histories grow, the kingdoms grow around these orbs, and the kingdoms live in peace and harmony, until you start getting jealous of each other's orbs, and then a huge war breaks out. The war lasts for 250 years, and by the end of the war, no one can remember what they're fighting about. And the orbs have gone into gone into obscurity. Nobody even knows what they are anymore. They're called the Glimmers. And then all of a sudden, they're found again, and then there's this new evil that's stalking the land. And it's an evil witch who's got hold of one of the Glimmers. And it's basically the story of the two the two kingdoms fighting each other over these Glimmers who nobody really knows what they're talking about and what they're fighting for. So it's got a lot of elements of Game of Thrones. It's got a lot of elements of of Lord of the Rings. Even though I'm not a massive fan of Lord of the Rings, which I'll probably get lambasted to say.
It sounds fascinating. I always admire any kind of fantasy. I can write what I can see, but as far as making up whole worlds, that I'm just in awe. I think that's amazing, and nothing that I think I could ever do. So, that's amazing. Now, when you finish, is the series completed now? Are you done with it?
Yeah, it's done. It's done. It's all done. All of the three books are done, written, edited, ready to go. Glimmer's out, available now. City of the Fireflies, which is based off the title of a throwaway line from a Queen song. I don't know whether you're aware of that line. And then the third part, the Throne of Glim, as I say, it's ready to go, ready to rock and roll. That's going to be
which throwaway line from which Queen song was it?
It was forget your sing-alongs and your lullabies, surrender to the city of the fireflies, dance with the devil, sing with the band, together all of you hand in hand, now she's gone forever. It was March of the Black Queen by Queen.
Obviously.
it's on Queen 2, one of the earlier albums.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a massive music fan. I love rock music and heavy metal and stuff like that. I also like pop as well. Yeah. But mostly metal and 70s, 80s metal, you know what I mean? That was the best. So I just thought, I always loved that line. Yeah. Oh yeah. So I always loved that line.
England did the best rock music. Seriously. We did the best rock music. Everything.
We showed those Americans how to do it, didn't we? And then they kind of took over. Yeah, you guys took over in the 80s, I'd say.
Woo!
Yeah.
Well, David, I'm so glad.
I mean, most 80s music was shite, I have to say.
No way.
Just saying.
Kind of. Yeah. A lot of it was throwaway. But as soon as England come up with Def Leppard, who I don't mind, then the Americans just took that one step further and brought up Motley Crue and stuff like that. And then everything changed.
Well, David, I'm so glad that we got to talk to you. And, you know, next time we'll have to try to pre-record so that we can, getting you up at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. But,
I don't mind getting up next time at all.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. But thank you so much for coming on the show. And for all of our listeners out there, go out and buy Glimmer by D.E. McCluskey. And I can't wait to talk to you again. Thank you.
Finally, we got
have a great day. Have a great Friday. And hopefully you'll feel better soon.
Yeah. Well, let's hope so.
Good night.
Let's hope so. Okay, well, thanks for having me, guys.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Of course.
And time has beaten us. It is time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.
Love you like I do.
When you're with me, wow.